What would Warren Buffett say about how I approach my property investing? And why do I even care? Well, Warren Buffett's 90 years old and he's consistently ranked amongst the world's richest people. And arguably, he's the most successful investor of the 20th century. And apparently, he's got a net worth of around $107 billion. This means he's earned, on average, about $11 million each and every year of his life, which is thousands of times more than the average worker in Australia earns. Anyway, I think Warren Buffett would be impressed about how I invest because there are some similarities in our investment philosophies. So in today's show, I'd like to look at some of Warren Buffett's investment principles and see how we can apply them to our property investing. Now, if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know I usually have guests on my show, but once a month or so, I like having these solo shows where I'm just chatting directly with you and passing on my thoughts. That's what's going to happen today. So welcome to this episode of the Michael Yardney Podcast.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropol, who specialise in helping you grow, protect and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
Warren Buffett's arguably the greatest investor of all time. He's got a track record of creating and maintaining wealth through particularly share investments and business investments, but many of his principles also apply for property investors. So in today's show, I'd like to look at some of Buffett's investment principles and see how we can apply them to our property investing. Now, not surprisingly, many of the principles that he uses are particularly relevant in the current property markets. So let's have a look at the first principle that's well known about Warren Buffett's investing, and that is adhere to a proven strategy. Buffett's success has often been put down to his extraordinary patience and his discipline, never deviating from his proven investment strategy, even when faced with short-term changes in the market. Now, this is a great lesson for property investors as well, as most investors don't have a plan. And if they do, most don't adhere to a proven strategy. Buying an investment property isn't a plan. Doing some homework and looking around the local market searching isn't research. So if you don't have an investment strategy to keep you focused, how can you ever hope to develop financial independence? You see, it's too easy to get distracted by all the so-called, the perceived opportunities that keep cropping up. Unfortunately, many of these supposed opportunities, they just don't work out as expected, do they? Look at the many investors who bought off the plan, or a while ago in the next mining town, or in the next hotspot, or in those regional so-called growth areas, or in the outer suburbs that were growing in population, but not in capital growth. Over the last few months, as our property markets have moved into a new growth stage of our cycle, a whole new generation of property gurus are out there offering all sorts of advice of what you should do with your money or what the next big opportunity is going to be. And there's also a swag of buyer's agents. Now, most of them are well-intentioned, but they're really enthusiastic amateurs with no long-term experience. And yes, I know some of the opportunities they suggest you should pursue may sound attractive, but I just see major pitfalls with some of them. I'm going to explain that to you in a moment anyway. So in my mind, you need to follow a strategy that has always worked rather than one that just works now. People say this time's different. I've been investing for over 50 years and I've heard this time is different so often, and it's not. So you need to invest using a strategy that has always worked, work over the long term. And this only comes from experience and perspective. And if you don't have the years behind you to get you the experience, why not learn from somebody who has? Now, the next strategy that Warren Buffett uses is to invest countercyclically. He's renowned for saying, we attempt to be fearful when others are greedy and to be greedy only when others are fearful. So how does that relate to property investment? Well, it's a strategy that many successful property investors have used. It's proven to be a winning formula last year when most people were fearful, weren't they? And in fact, the year before that, when many people predicted the property market would fall. In fact, if you've been listening to my podcast or reading my blogs, you'll know that when others thought the world was falling apart due to COVID, or the year before because of the Haynes Royal Commission, or the year before that when there was a federal election, all those things, over time, I actually said you should be, if the circumstances were right and your finances were right, you should be investing. Invest when others are fearful. In fact, last year I made a public recommendation in this podcast and in my blogs that last October was the turning point of the property cycle. And I know that set up some of the listeners to this podcast and many of the readers of my property update newsletter to take advantage of what's turned out to be a great time to enter our property markets. By the way, it's not too late to be early this property cycle. So yes, you should still get in. It's definitely not too late. There's still significant growth left in some of our property markets. However, you can't just go buy any property and hope it's an investment-grade property. But I've spoken about that before, haven't I? Another one of Warren Buffett's philosophies, his strategies, is sometimes it's best to do nothing. A great quote from Warren Buffett is, "The trick is, when there's nothing to do, do nothing." Yet many investors get itchy feet and they want to do more, put another deal together, buy another property. Firstly, there's stages in the property cycle and times during an investment journey when it's just best to sit back and wait for either the right opportunities to come up or you to be in a better financial position that you can invest in the market again. Because wealth is the transfer of money from the impatient to the patient. By the way, that's another Warren Buffett quote. Now, by the way, I don't think this is the time in the cycle to sit and do nothing. If you have a secure job and if you can get finance, there are some great opportunities for those who know where to look for them. But let me clarify, there are also definitely some places where you should be doing nothing. There are clearly some segments of the property market you should avoid. And I would include in there the high-rise and off-the-plan properties and the new housing estates and even most of our regional markets, which have had a great run for a while. But moving forward, it's going to be the more affluent suburbs, the areas where people's incomes are higher, that are going to outperform. Now, another strategy that Warren Buffett implements is specialise. Don't diversify. Buffett's adopted a focused investment philosophy, investing the bulk of his funds in a few companies. On the other hand, you've heard a lot of people, a lot of so-called advisors suggest you diversify. This is really just playing the game of investment not to lose, rather than playing the game of investment to win. And diversifying leads to average results. On the other hand, successful investors, they specialize. They become an expert in one area or one niche, and they can reproduce the same thing over and over again, getting great results. I know, it's worked for me. For years, I've invested in a particular type of property that's grown my wealth. Capital growth properties with a twist, such as properties with development potential, that allow me to manufacture capital growth and increase my returns by allowing me to own high growth, relatively high yield investments. I get the best of both worlds by specializing in what I specialize in. Now, I still diversify. I've got properties in multiple municipalities in different states. I've got commercial, residential, industrial, office, retail properties as well. So I have diversified over time, but it's much harder to diversify when properties are so expensive. You can buy different shares in your portfolio without putting a lot of money down. But when you first start investing, find a good area to invest in that fits in with your budget, buy the right property there. And you can't diversify and buy another one for a while, can you? Another Warren Buffett strategy is invest for value. Here's a value investor who says it's far better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fair company at a wonderful price. And it's the same with property. You make your money when you buy a property, but not by buying a bargain, and definitely not in today's hot property markets. You lock in your profits by buying the right property, one that's going to outperform the averages in the long term because of its location, because of its scarcity, because of its potential to add value, because of the demographics where you're buying the property. Now, while most Australian property markets are currently booming, they are likely to slow down as the year goes on and into next year. Now, I'm not suggesting property values are going to drop, but price growth is going to slow as affordability, or lack of it, starts to bite. So while properties in more affluent, established money and lifestyle suburbs are likely to keep growing in value, middle-tier properties and properties in outer suburbs are likely to experience less capital growth due to strained affordability. What worked for many over the first stage of this property cycle is unlikely to work as well over the next year or two. The easy ride is over for those who don't adjust. So this is Warren Buffett's principle of investing for value. What I'm saying is that price is what you pay for a property. It's not the same as the value you get. Successful investors know the difference. So don't look for a bargain. Buy the best gem you can buy. Another strategy Warren Buffett uses is invest for the long term. Buffett admits he can't predict which way the markets are going to move in the short term, and he's quite certain no one else can either. So instead, he takes a long-term view of the market, saying, if you don't feel comfortable owning a stock for 10 years, you shouldn't own it for 10 minutes. Similarly, those who've created wealth out of property have also taken a long-term view. This doesn't mean buy and forget. You should regularly review your property portfolio. So, hey, when was the last time you checked to make sure you're getting the best rents, or that your mortgage was appropriate for the current interest rates, or that the property's performing as you had planned it for it to be? Sometimes it's even appropriate to consider selling an underperforming property to enable you to buy a better investment. Now, you've got to do the right numbers and sums and figures. When we put a strategic property plan together for our clients at Metropole, that's one of the assessments we have to make. Sometimes you do have to take two steps backwards to take a step forward. So I'm not suggesting just lightly sell a property because it's underperforming, but if you do the numbers and figures and you're able to buy a better investment over the long term, it's worth considering. So again, Warren Buffett's principle of investing for the long term is just as relevant for property investors, but that doesn't mean buy and never sell. My strategy is buy and seldom sell. Now, another principle of Warren Buffett's is don't invest in anything you don't understand. Now, during the previous property booms, I remember investors hungered for returns that took them to exotic terrains, whether they realized it or not. Promoters were offering large profits using opaque schemes, and the same is starting to happen again as this new property cycle rolls out. Warren Buffett never invests in anything he doesn't understand, and nor should you. Another principle of Warren Buffett's investing is managing your risk. Many investors just don't fully understand the risks associated with property investment, and I guess that's why they don't manage them correctly. One common error is not having sufficient financial buffers to see them through from one property cycle to the next, or if there are unforeseen expenses. On the other hand, smart investors have a financial buffer in their offset accounts or sometimes in a line of credit, not only to cover their negative gearing shortfall, but to see them through the difficult times of the property cycle. In other words, they don't only buy properties, they buy themselves time. And I know when we put a strategic property plan together for our clients at Metropole, the first thing we do is put a finance plan together. And it's not just to buy a property or to get the lowest interest rate, but our finance strategists actually put a plan together to help you buy the next property and the next property. Of course, when we talk about managing risks, though, another way smart investors minimize the risk is to buy their properties in the correct ownership structures to protect their assets and legally minimize their tax. Now, that's a point of controversy because some people say, oh, it's much simpler to buy in my own name. And I know there are other so-called experts out there who say, don't complicate things by buying things in ownership structures. Now, if you ever only want to own one or two properties, if you're a PAYG earner, the answer may be, okay, just do it simply. But if you want to genuinely build a substantial property portfolio and pass it on to future generations, if you're looking for intergenerational wealth, then none of the successful investors I'm aware of own assets in their own name. They all own them in the correct ownership structures. One of the other things we do when we put a strategic property plan together for our clients is actually talk about ownership structures. And you're probably aware that Ken Race, my business partner at Metropole Wealth Advisory, spends a lot of time advising clients about the right ownership structures. And it's not always family trusts. So again, the point I'm making is managing risks is important. So owning the right assets is a great risk management strategy in the first place, one that's not volatile. Having the right finance in place is another risk management strategy, and owning your properties in the right ownership structure. I don't own anything in my own name, but I control a lot of structures that own substantial assets. Hey, I've got a final lesson from Warren Buffett, the master, and he says, both good times and bad times are going to come, and they're going to come with surprising frequency over your investing lifetime. But if you've got a plan and if you stay focused on sound financial strategies, you can gain financial independence through prudent investing. So that's 8 investment strategies Warren Buffett uses that I believe you can also adopt to make you a better investor. In a moment, I actually want to talk with you about what Warren Buffett would say about how I, Michael Yardney, approaches property investing. But before I do, I just want to point out to you, I've mentioned a couple of times about Metropole putting strategic property plans together. So if you're interested in taking advantage of the property market, and if you do want to get a good team around you, whether you're a beginning investor or an experienced investor, why not have a look at what our team at Metropole does. We don't sell property, but we give strategic wealth and property advice to help you grow a substantial property portfolio. And recently, the tax department again showed how few property investors get to 6 or more properties, and an audit of our clients showed that they're 7.3 times more likely to own 6 or more properties than the average Aussie property investor. So why not go to metropole.com.au and find out about what we can do to help you. But interestingly, it all starts with putting a plan together. And that's what Warren Buffett says as well. So why wouldn't we follow the master? Now, a moment ago, I said to you, I was going to discuss with you what Warren Buffett would say about how I approach my property investing. And to be honest, I think he'd be impressed with how I invest because there are some similarities in our investment philosophies. Now, don't get me wrong. Clearly, I'm not in Warren Buffett's league as an investor. And Buffett much prefers investing in companies than buying real estate. And of course, he wouldn't even bother himself with how Michael Yardney does things. So all of this is hypothetical. Having said that, I've grown a very, very substantial property portfolio over the last almost 50 years of investing, and it's given me the financial freedom and the choices of life that I've been looking for. So I thought it would be an interesting exercise just to compare. So here's what I've done. When I first started investing, I really didn't know what I was doing, and boy, I made more than my share of mistakes. Luckily, around the time I bought my first investment property in the early 1970s, Gough Whitlam became Prime Minister, and inflation in Australia rose from about 5% to over 15%. In other words, interest rates went up, but wages went up, and so did the value of properties, and the value of my property boomed, rents went up. It's amazing how rampant inflation pushes up property values, and it helps cover up mistakes. The problem, of course, is one of the worst things that can happen to a novice investor like me is to get it right first time. It gave me a false sense of confidence and invincibility. However, rising interest rates, a recession, and falling property values in the early 80s taught me some very important lessons. Fortunately, I developed an investment strategy over the years. Now, to be honest, I really didn't have one when I started. I just knew I wanted to get rich. There weren't the books, there weren't the podcasts, there weren't the blogs. But over the years, I have developed a strategy. I use a top-down approach to select the right location and then my six-stranded strategic approach that I've discussed with you before to ensure I only buy the type of property that would outperform the averages in that location. You see, over the years, I've recognized the importance of location doing the heavy lifting of my properties. In other words, giving it the capital growth. And that's why I only invest in selected suburbs in our three big capital cities. Now, of course, I recognise there are other areas that are going to exhibit capital growth as well. But I don't fight the big trends, just like Warren Buffett doesn't fight the big trends. I recognise that the big capital cities are going to be where there's more jobs created over the next decades, and in particular, the more of the higher paying jobs, the ones that the Bureau of Statistics call skill level one and skill level two jobs. That's where people earn more income. And I also recognize that these are the areas where more affluent people are going to be able to afford to and prepared to buy properties, which are going to keep pushing up property values. So yes, people are going to move to outer suburbs. People are going to move to regional Australia. Yes, capital growth will occur there as well. But as this cycle moves on and as interest rates, the low interest rates don't keep pushing up property values because the effect of that has worked its way through the system, it's only going to be wages growth that's going to make properties more affordable for some people and push up the value of properties in some locations. So again, I don't fight the big trends. I invest in the three big capital cities and then only again in the more affluent, more established money suburbs, those with a higher proportion of, I said, Australian Bureau of Statistics, skill level one and two workers, people who earn more than average. Now, these are often gentrifying suburbs. They're aspirational suburbs. They're desirable lifestyle suburbs in the middle and inner ring of our cities. By the way, as I said, this isn't just the areas where affluent owner-occupiers are, but it's also where there's more affluent tenants who are going to be able to pay me more rent over the years. Because in the future, my cash flow, in fact, today, my cash flow is dependent on my tenants being able to pay me and pay increasing rents over the years. But they choose to live there not just because they can't afford to buy a property, they're choosing to live in these more affluent areas because of lifestyle. So I was actually starting to explain to you my system, and so I use a top-down approach to find the right states, the right suburbs, the right streets in those suburbs, the right locations, because in every suburb there are still some areas where I wouldn't invest. But then I choose the right property in the suburb by below intrinsic value. And that's why I avoid new and off-the-plan properties. I buy, as I said, nearest with long, strong history of capital growth and buy properties that have got owner-occupier appeal. But I look for properties with a high land-to-asset ratio. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a large amount of land. It means more valuable land because of its location. And that can be under a family-friendly apartments. I've got a number of blocks of apartments, but low-density blocks that I own. And I look for properties with an element of scarcity, not the Legoland apartments or housing estates where there's all the properties look the same and there's no shortage. Abundance of supply is the enemy of capital growth. And I also look for properties with a twist, something unique, something special, something scarce, something different about them. And you probably by now know my strategy is that I also like buying properties where I can manufacture capital growth through refurbishment, renovation, or redevelopment. Anyway, back to what Warren Buffett would say about my investment philosophy. As I said, he invests in companies, not property. And of course, not just any company, he's got a set of strict selection criteria. So rather than investing in the latest fad, he invests in tried and proven industries. This is why he didn't get burned with the tech wreck of the early 2000s. He understands the importance of timing and counter-cyclical investing. He doesn't buy cheap companies. He buys great companies with strong brand value and good growth prospects. As I said before, his quote was, "It's far better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fair company at a wonderful price." And of course, this applies to property as well. I'd rather buy the best property I can at a fair price than a secondary property or in a poor location at a wonderful price. And Warren Buffett buys the companies he buys cheaply. Well, below intrinsic value. So I'm not suggesting that he's buying them because the price of the shares are cheap, but below intrinsic value. For example, he bought companies like Gillette and Coca-Cola and Apple at a great price. He's made an absolute killing. He buys companies with strong upside potential. He invests for the long term. Remember the quote I mentioned a while ago? If you aren't willing to own a stock for 10 years, don't even bother owning it for 10 minutes. Can you see the common threads there between how he buys companies and I buy properties? So how would Warren Buffett buy Australian real estate? Again, this is a hypothetical exercise, and I'm just guessing what he'd do. But if Warren Buffett were buying properties in Australia, he'd most probably look for five things. He'd look for properties in an area with strong capital growth prospects. He'd be looking for properties that he can buy for less than the true market value or intrinsic value because he always buys with a margin of safety. That's why he wouldn't buy off the plan where there's large or new projects where there's large profit margins made by developers and marketers and marketing fees. Warren Buffett would almost certainly buy properties that are unique. They've got special features that are different. Something that creates a level of scarcity. What I called a moment ago, a property with a twist. Just like Warren Buffett bought Coca-Cola because of its brand, it makes it difficult for competitors to catch up. He wouldn't chase the latest hotspot, would he? And he'd buy properties to hold in the long term, and he wouldn't consider trading or flipping properties. Well, that's my assumption of how Warren Buffett would buy Australian real estate based on how much is known about his investment philosophies. So just like Warren Buffett carefully selects his investment targets, if you want to become a successful property investor, it's important for you to develop a strict set of selection criteria for your investment properties. So let me finish with a great quote from Warren Buffett. He said, "I'm a better investor because I'm a businessman, and I'm a better businessman because I'm an investor." And so his lesson is strategic property investors treat their investments like a business, and so should you. And as a business person, you should get a great team around you. And I'd be hoping that my team at Metropole could help you. Whether you're an experienced investor or a beginner, we have a range of services. It all starts with putting a strategic plan together for you, and you could then choose to use our buyer's agency, property management, renovations, development, wealth advisory, financial planning. Go to metropole.com.au, find out about what we do, leave us your details, and I'd love to be part of your wealth creation journey.
Now here's Michael's mindset message. Remember, a change in your thinking will lead to a change in your life.
In my mindset message today, I'd like to share with you a snippet of a very famous speech by former American President Teddy Roosevelt, and it was about critics. And in life, you're going to come against critics, people who criticize you, people who say it can't be done, who people say you're not up to it, you're not good enough, why are you doing it that way? That's the old tall poppy syndrome, isn't it, here in Australia, when we put our heads up and try to do better, be better, improve things, people want to lop it down. So I hope this will give you some inspiration, because over time, if you actually go out of your comfort zone and try and do things, people are going to criticize you, and particularly so on social media. Anyway, on April 23rd, 1910, Theodore Roosevelt gave what was going to become one of the most widely quoted speeches of his career. Remember, he was a former president of the United States, but he left office in 1909, long before any of us were born. And in this speech, Roosevelt spoke against cynics who looked down on men who were trying to make the world a better place. He said something along the lines of, "The poorest way to face life is to face it with a sneer." He said, "A cynic's habit of thought and speech, a readiness to criticize work which the critic himself has never even tried to perform, it's an intellectual aloofness which will not accept contact with life's realities. All these are marks not of superiority, but weakness." In other words, he was saying the critics are weak, not the person who hasn't succeeded. But then he went on and delivered an inspirational, impassioned message that drew huge applause. So here are some of the most quoted paragraphs from his famous speech. He said, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how strong the man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better themselves." Teddy Roosevelt said, "The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena. It belongs to the man whose face is marred with dust and sweat and blood, to the man who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcomings. But the credit belongs to the man who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, who knows great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement. But if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with the cold and timid souls who neither know victory or defeat." Very strong words, which well over a century later are still as relevant today. And I guess that's the reason these quotes have often been paraphrased in talks and lots of TED Talks. So my message to you today is, don't worry about the critics. Unfortunately for some of us, we're our worst critic, but that's a totally different message. The message here is, most of the critics actually sit on the sidelines. They're not in the arena. They don't try. It's too easy to be a critic. And today, everyone's an expert. They're an expert on pandemics, even though they've never been to university. They're an expert on politics, even though they have never tried. They're experts on business or on property. Don't worry about the critics. Well, I hope you learned something about Warren Buffett today. And you've also got some ideas about how you could use some of those principles as a property investor. By the way, I've got another way of you getting some great ideas about property investing. My way of saying thank you for listening to my podcast. If you go to podcastbonus.com.au, I'll leave a link in the show notes, podcastbonus.com.au. I've got a heap of reports and ebooks for you that you may also find useful. But if you got some benefit from today's show and you know somebody who would also benefit, why not tell them about the Michael Yardney podcast, or why not tell the world by leaving a review wherever you listen to this? You can catch me in between these twice weekly podcasts. Just look for Michael Yardney on social media. Of course, if you'd like to get something from me every day, I've got a private Facebook group. I leave a little snippet, a chart, a comment just to help you get a different perspective on what's happening to the property markets. So go to Facebook and look for the Property Update private Facebook group, ask to join, and I'd love to have you as part of my community. I look forward to catching up with you again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney Podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney Podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?